Shalom in the Evangels. My opening scripture is from the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes 12:13. Now all has been heard. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. For Elohim will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. So there is a judgment coming. Well, salvation in the Evangels. Now, who should know better about salvation than Yahshua the Messiah? It's his thing. It's why he came. So, if you want to know about salvation, I think this is a good place to start. Salvation means having eternal life as a spirit being with Yahweh, Abba Yahweh, and Yahshua the Messiah. That's what we're talking about today. We can begin in John 5, verse 39. Yahshua was talking to some Jews. Those were his neighbors. They were all Jews. He was talking to them near Passover time. And he said, "You search the scriptures because you think you possess everlasting life in them." Now, the scriptures he was talking about was the Old Testament, because they hadn't written the New Testament yet. Okay. Verse 40, "But you do not desire to come to me in order to possess life." So they were counting on the scriptures in the Old Testament, hoping to get life, eternal life, from them. And there was the key to eternal life standing in front of them, and they weren't accepting it. Yahshua the Messiah. Okay. Let's go over to John 17. This is his final prayer as he's with the disciples going before the Father just before he was arrested. John 17, beginning at verse 1, Yahshua said these words and lifted up his eyes to the heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Esteem your son, so that your son also might esteem you. You have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give everlasting life to whom you have given him, to all whom you have given him. And this is everlasting life, that they should know you, the Father, and the only true Elohim, and Yahshua the Messiah, whom you sent." So this is everlasting life, to know Yahweh and Yahshua, of course. He says in Matthew 19, verse 16, "Now behold, one came to him and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Okay, that's the big question. That's what we're here to talk about today. This rich young man made four mistakes, each of which was met by the master with unerring wisdom. His first mistake was about the identity of the Messiah, thinking him only a good teacher. And Yahshua answered that with an inescapable dilemma that brought to him. His second mistake was about the way of eternal life, supposing that it could be earned by works. And that was met by confronting him with the high demands of Yahshua's law. And Yahshua said to him, "Why do you call me good? For no one is good but one, that is Elohim. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." No one is good but one, Elohim. So what's the dilemma he had? Well, on the one hand, either Yahshua is Elohim or somebody else is Elohim, and Yahshua may not be good. We know that Yahshua was good, he never sinned, and he was Elohim. And he proved that by many miraculous acts that could not have been done and never were done by humans. And if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Well, he said, well, I can get out of this one. He said, which one? Which ones? There are hundreds of commandments in the scripture. So which ones do I have to keep? Yahshua said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Yahshua was quoting the commandments from Exodus 20 and then from Leviticus 19, verse 18, where it says, love your neighbor. It says, you shall not take vengeance in Leviticus there, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yahweh. Yahshua quotes Torah to answer the question. Just a little later in Matthew 23:36, someone asked Yahshua, teacher, which is the great commandment of the law? And Yahshua said to him, you shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Well, did he really keep them? All the law and the prophets? That's a lot to digest, much less to keep. He was only a young man, so maybe he hadn't sinned very much in his life, but did he really keep all those? Yahshua did not directly challenge his statement that he had kept the law. Perhaps Yahshua saw that he did believe that he had. The young man's third mistake was about himself, thinking that he had kept the law. It was answered by testing him as to a detailed work of righteousness and opening his eyes to his failure. That's in verse 21 and 22. Yahshua said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me. This man had an opportunity to change his future for all eternity. He had an opportunity to change history. And what did he do? Did he go for the treasure in heaven? Well, in verse 22, we read, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He had houses and money in the bank and this, that, and the other thing. I think Yahshua may have been looking at that gold medallion he had hanging on a chain around his neck, and saying, "Son, sell everything. Give to the poor." And he said, "Really? Everything?" I believe he did do that eventually. But he had to have a change of heart before he did. His fourth and most tragic mistake was in not heeding the final words of the Messiah, "Come, follow me." For he was being offered grace and hope as a sinner. We have Yahshua's explanation to the disciples just after the incident. Verse 23 of Matthew 19, Yahshua said to his taught ones, "Truly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the reign of the heavens. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter in the kingdom of heaven," kingdom of Elohim. And when his taught ones heard it, they were very astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" And looking intently, Yahshua said to them, "With man, this is impossible. But with Elohim, all things are possible." Hallelujah. I have to stand with that rich man and say, I'm very glad of that. And Kepha answering said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. What then shall we have?" And Yahshua said to them, "Truly I say to you, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his esteem, you who have followed me in the rebirth shall also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife and children or lands for my sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." Okay. You have followed me, and that's what you will receive. He made it clear that salvation is never won by human attainment, but that which with Elohim's, all things are possible, even the salvation of those who have riches. Salvation has always been by Yahweh's grace to the sinner through our faith in the Messiah's atoning sacrifice. In John 1, verse 17, we read, "Torah was given through Moses, and the favor and the truth came through Yahshua the Messiah." What has Yahshua said in this conversation? It seems that his message is this: keeping the Torah law is good and necessary, but we must go on to follow Yahshua in other, still higher ways. And you can read a parallel account in Mark 10, 17 to 30, and again in Luke 18, 18 to 30. So let's look at another place where Yahshua made salvation pretty clear. It's in John 3, the conversation with Nicodemus. And we'll just pick it up in verse 14 of John 3. "As Moshe lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," Yahshua is speaking, "even so the Son of Man has to be lifted up, so that whoever is believing in him should not perish, but possess everlasting life. For Elohim so loved the world that he gave his only brought forth Son, so that everyone who believes in him should not perish, but possess everlasting life. For Elohim did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And when he says the world, he's not talking about this big round ball. He's talking about the people. Okay? He who believes in him is not judged, but he who does not believe is judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only brought forth Son of Elohim. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their works were wicked. Yeah, if your works are not so good, it's better to do them in the dark so nobody sees, right? That the one doing the truth comes to the light, so that his works are clearly seen, that they have been done in Elohim. So, if you want salvation, you're not going to go for the darkness, you're going to go for the light, and you're going to know that you're walking in Torah. Your works are right. So what additional did we learn about salvation here? We see that belief in the name of Yahshua, and Yahshua's name means Yahweh's salvation, and that's important. Jesus is not a saving name. Yahshua is the name of our Savior. And we see again in verse 19 of John 3 that righteous acts are expected of those hoping for salvation. It matters what you do. Works make a difference. Now we come to a really difficult passage. Yahshua was discussing his mission with some Jews, and they were having some problems. This passage pertains to Passover. It's about Passover time. We'll pick it up in John 6, verse 53. Therefore, Yahshua said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you possess no life in yourselves." Whoa! This is a problem for those people. They knew Torah, and they knew that man is an unclean animal. It doesn't have split hoofs or chew the cud. Okay? So you can't be eating a person. And also, any kind of blood is forbidden. Can't drink blood. And still, this guy is standing there telling them, you have to eat the flesh and drink the blood of the Son of Man. Big problem. Big problem. And they're murmuring pretty loud, probably. Whoa, hey, question. Let's see what happens here. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood possesses everlasting life, and I shall raise him up at the last day. That's John 6, verse 54. For my flesh is truly food, and my blood is truly drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood stays in me, and I in him. He's doubling down, not giving up on this. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me shall live because of me. This is food. I'm sorry. This is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and died. He who eats this bread shall live forever. He said this in the congregation, teaching in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his taught ones, having heard this, says, "This word is hard. Who can understand? Who is able to hear it?" This just doesn't make sense to us. This guy's supposed to be a Torah teacher, and look at what he's telling us. But Yahshua, knowing within himself that his taught ones were grumbling about this, said to them, "Does this make you stumble? What if you see the Son of Man going up where he was before?" So you might say he was saying, would it make things easier if you could see me as a spirit being? Would spirit, flesh, and blood be less offensive to you? If so, that's good, because this is all about spiritual things. Verse 63, he says, "It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh does not profit at all. The words that I speak to you are spirit and are life." You can compare this with Romans 7:18. I know we're straying outside the evangels for this, but Paul writes, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I don't find in my flesh." Back to John 6, verse 63. Yahshua said, "The spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." Verse 64, "But there are some of you who do not believe." For Yahshua knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would deliver him up. And he said, "Because of this, I have said to you, no one is able to come to me unless it has been given to him by my Father." From then on, many of his taught ones withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Yahshua therefore said to the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Then Shalom Sehom Kepha answered him, "Master, to whom shall we go? You possess the words of everlasting life, and we have believed and we know that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living Elohim." So from this passage, we learn that salvation is a spiritual pursuit. If we try to get saved on a physical level, then we will not have a spiritual salvation. And I'm afraid that that spiritual salvation is the only kind there is. Yahshua said in John 4:24, "Elohim is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." As Yahshua said in John 12:25, "The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." So this life is pretty good. I like it. But it's not to be loved. This is not our final destination. Why are we here? We're here so that we can be there in the resurrection. There are just a few more passages of words from Yahshua that we need to talk about, that give us insight into salvation. And I might mention that this message is about how to attain salvation, and maybe there's another message about what salvation means. Yahshua gives us some clues as to what we'll be doing if we're saved. how it's going to be. Okay. Matthew 25. Remember Matthew 25, the second part of the chapter talks about that final judgment where Yahshua sits on the throne as king and judges the sheep from the goats. He puts the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand, and it's not so good for the goats. Getting down to verse 45 in Matthew 25, and he shall answer the goats, saying, truly I say to you, insofar as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. This is a salvation scripture. It's about how you treat other people, which is what this section is all about. I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I needed clothing, and you gave it to me, and so forth. You know that salvation is for those who treat other people like they should treat Yahshua. It makes the difference between everlasting punishment and eternal life. We may be saved by faith alone, but Yahshua is telling us it has to be a really active faith. John 15 is another one of our scriptures. And we'll begin at verse 1. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it bears more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. You're already pruned as a branch on the grapevine. Stay in me, verse 4 of John 15. Stay in me, and I stay in you. As the branch is unable to bear fruit of itself unless it stays in the vine, so neither can you unless you stay in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who stays in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit, because without me you are able to do only a little fruit. No, you are able to do nothing. So, bearing fruit means you have to stay in Yahshua. And again, this is a spiritual activity. Verse 6, if anyone does not stay in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. That's what happens when you clip the branch off the vine. It doesn't get that sustenance from the vine and it dries up. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. An apt analogy. If you stay in me and my words stay in you, you shall ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you. Now that doesn't mean you get to have the new Lexus or whatever's hot today, or the girl across the street, or those kinds of things. It means whatever you need to do the work that Yahshua has prescribed for us in order to bear that fruit. If you need something, ask in Yahshua's name, and he will give you the ability to do it and bear that fruit. In this my Father is esteemed, that you bear much fruit, and you shall be my taught ones. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Stay in my love. If you guard my commands, you shall stay in my love, even as I have guarded my Father's commands and stay in his love. Now, there are many commands that Yahshua gave. I think there are 60 of them that I counted. And we need to be careful to study the scriptures, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and also a few in Revelation, and understand what his commands are and obey them. These words which I have spoken to you, these words I have spoken to you so that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be complete. This is my command, that you love one another as I have loved you. And you can find that command in John 13:34, and just a few verses further on in John 15:17. And that's the only suggestion Yahshua made, that he gave the force of a command. He says, I give you a new commandment, that you shall love one another as I have loved you. That you shall love one another. That's how everyone will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. And those in Yahshua's congregation do love one another. The last scripture from Yahshua is about relationships with other people. John 4:34-38. Yahshua said to them, my food is to do the desire of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you say there are still 4 months and the harvest comes? Look, I say to you, lift up your eyes and see the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. Already. It's time to reap the harvest of this world. Now, not everything that's growing in that field is the harvest for Yahweh, but there is ample harvest ready. Verse 36 of John 4. He who is reaping receives a reward and gathers fruit for everlasting life, so that both he who is sowing and he who is reaping rejoice together. Hallelujah. For in this the word is true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. So the field has already been prepared to a certain extent, and we just need to do the work of reaping. Just as interfering with the work of bringing people to Yahweh can earn you a permanent hot seat, participating in that work can make a difference in the next life for you. You may not be able to go and preach or write and publish. You may not be one of the largest contributors, but there are things anyone can do. Anyone can and should pray for the salvation of those whom Yahweh is calling. Anyone can and should support those who are spreading the good news by prayer, encouragement, and even a little work. There are many ways to help the work of the good news. Find something significant that you can do, and do it. Let's review what we've learned from Yahshua, our Savior, about salvation. Number one, keep the commandments. That's an essential first step. Torah. He said in John 5:17, do not think that I have come to do away with the law. I have not come to do away with the Torah, but to establish it. So he said, don't think that, and people think it. Yes. Number two, go on to follow Yahshua in other still higher ways. Study the evangels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and a little of Revelation, to learn what Yahshua said to do. Keep your eyes on the spiritual rather than on material things. Or make sure that you can squeeze a camel through the eye of the needle, if you can't do that. Spiritual, not material things. You can squeeze a spiritual camel through that. Number four, believe in the name of the only begotten Son of Yahweh. Number five, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. We have to take the very essence of Yahshua the Messiah, the spiritual essence of Yahshua, into ourselves and make him a part of us spiritually. We have to live as he did, love others as he did, and even think as Yahshua thought. He has to really live in us. He has to live within us. We have to allow him to. We have to let him live within us. Number six, we have to treat other people like we would treat Yahshua. That's a tall order. Number seven, coincidentally, there happen to be seven things. We should have a real part in bringing others to Yahweh. Tall orders. Not easy to do, but definitely possible. Yahweh does not give us commands that we cannot keep, but he doesn't necessarily give us things to do that are easy. So keep these things in mind, and we hope to see you all in the resurrection.